You know it's a good Sunday when the pastor, one of the pastors, is sweating like he was in Africa. And they have blisters from playing the drums. I love it! So great. You know, some of those pastors try to keep their hair just right the whole service. I don't believe in that. My hair hasn't been right for a lot of years, so don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. Well, we just had two terrific teams crash Africa, and Africa's different. I am telling you, I enjoyed being with these teams so much. They were just so all over it in Mozambique, Swaziland, and Ghana. So we're trusting that those nations will never be the same. Africa will never be the same. And it's not going to be World Cup that changes it. It's going to be Jesus. Jesus working through people that are just open to go and people that are supporting from here. We just felt so supported and prayed for. We ran into a number of glitches, as you always do, and God just did the breakthrough thing all the way through. You know, and funny things happen in Africa when you're over there. Just the craziest things, you just have to laugh and say, I can't believe this is happening. I remember being in a place called Gaza, and not the Gaza you might be familiar with, but it's Gaza outside the capital city of Maputo in Mozambique. And I'm all fired up to preach to this crowd that came out of nowhere. They just came out of the dark, it seemed like. I don't even know how they knew we were going to have a little crusade. But they came out of nowhere, and they were well-behaved for the most part. I was like, wow, in Mozambique, because they're usually kind of rowdy. And so I couldn't wait to preach, so I got up, and I was, I was just so fired up, all concentrating on me and all paying attention to me and everything. And I'm getting into it, and I'm just ripping for Jesus, and, you know, he rose from the dead, and he loves you so much, and I'm letting them, I'm really going, whoa! And I look over, and Mary Pat and Jamie are standing there. And I just kind of look over at them, and I'm hoping they're enjoying, you know, that I'm really letting it fly. And I look over at them, and they saw something I didn't see. My fly was down. And so Mary Pat's like, and Jamie's laughing. And I'm like, not now. So I quickly, you know, kind of turn and take care of business. And now I know why the Africans were concentrating. Now I know why they were enjoying the whole presentation. So funny things happen. Even when you really think you're ripping along and everything's going great. But people did come forward to receive Jesus. That little distraction didn't stop them. So we're glad about that. It ended up well. God, our Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God, makes up the difference. Even when we're not at our best. Amen? Isn't that true? It's very true. Thank you, Lord. That you make up the difference. I think some people are encouraged this morning. I saw some burdened people come in here, and they suddenly just decided, I'm throwing my burdens to the wind and letting God take care of it. I saw it on some of your faces. Some of you entered in. You encountered the joy of the Lord, and it's giving you strength. You know, there are some serious situations going on in just this small little group. And we know about some of them, Pastor Mary Pat and myself, and we don't know about others. You're carrying burdens that are too heavy for you. But the good news is, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you enter in like you did this morning, you can let those burdens go to Him, and He handles them better. I'm telling you. He handles them better. How many know this? You have to believe the report of Father. Whoa! I said you have to believe the report of your Father. You have to. The first Sunday we were in Ghana, the Lord just laid that on my heart. I didn't have any plan. I got up to preach at this church that was established a number of years ago in Sola. And the Lord just said, whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe, Bill? I said, your report, Father. And so I just asked the people, whose report do you believe? You know, you have so many reports that you could believe. On the way in Mozambique, you know, I had the little gimp when I left. Well, the enemy decided to add to it a little bit. I suddenly had this pain develop in my upper thigh in Mozambique, and I couldn't explain it. And the enemy came and he said this to me. You've got a blood clot. Because there's been concern all the way along that a blood clot could develop in this leg at some point through flying or other things. And the doctor always checks my circulation when I go in because of the broken ankle and healing and all that. And so this pain developed, and it could have been a pulled something or other in my upper thigh, or it could be a blood clot. Which one do you think the enemy chose to hammer me with? You've got a blood clot, and you're not near any good hospitals. Why don't you just go home? That's what he started talking to me about in Mozambique. Well, I couldn't tell whether it was a pulled muscle or a pulled ligament or a pulled tendon or whether it was a blood clot. But the enemy is going to give you a report. And it's going to be the worst report he can come up with. Whose report are you going to believe? That's what he asks all of us this morning. So I flew in an airplane, and that's Blood Clot City. That's a possibility. Flew in the airplane up to Ghana, no problem. But still, I get off the plane, and I got this extra pain in my leg. I already am a little gimpy, and now I got this pain in my upper leg that just seems to be getting worse. So I'm in southern Accra. I could fly home and get it checked out. And the enemy says, yes, you should go home. You have a blood clot. And he does the same to you. The worst report he can think of, he's going to hammer you with. Whatever the situation you're facing this morning. And there's probably one or two. Your loved one will never come to the Lord. Your finances will never get straightened out. Your marriage will only get worse, not better. Your health is going downhill and you're old now, and you'll never be young again. That pain that you feel is something serious. That depression that tries to take a hold of you will always be there. And it will get worse. The enemy will hammer you with the worst possible report. How many spies went into the land? How many spies went into the land? And how many had a good report? How many had a bad report? I rest my case. The enemy is always going to try to get the majority around you to even say, you know, it could be a blood clot. They might even agree with the enemy unless they hear the report of Father. We have to ask Father. We have to ask Father. We have to ask Father. Hey, you might have a blood clot, but you hear the report of Father.
How many heard that?
There might be a divorce happen in your life, and you didn't want it. But Father's report is what you need to hear. Yes, this divorce will go through. You don't want it, but I will take you on from here. It happened to me. I didn't want a divorce, and I've been divorced. Whoa. But somewhere in that process, God convinced me He was going to bring me through it and bring my former spouse through it as well. He was going to turn both lives around. Unfortunately, I thought at the time, separately. But I have come to see that even a disaster in our lives, God can weave back in to a positive thing in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. Divorce, I hate it. Okay? But if the Father says, you're going to be all right, because kingdom is more important than some of these things that happen in your life. Kingdom can still shine through in your life. I thought I was going to be finished with divorce marked across my head, and I never wanted one. I thought there was this neon light across here. You are divorced. But that was the enemy saying that. I had nothing printed on my forehead. The glory of Jesus was working inside my heart. The forgiveness of Jesus was working inside my heart. And I actually was growing in those years. I was coming to find that Father's love is so sweet in those years. I was even hearing prophetically and I didn't even believe in it. He was speaking prophetically to me. Prophetic words inside of me. And I wasn't calling it that because I thought that was wacko. But he still got through. Don't you love it? That means he loves us, folks. He loves us deeply to get through when we're blockheads. Your stupidity doesn't stop God from helping you out. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It's not a roadblock to him. As Larry Randolph says, he's already factored in your stupidity. I love that. And he can make a breakthrough anyway. He can make up the difference anyway. He can speak to you prophetically and you don't even believe in it. He can heal you and you don't even believe in it. He's so gracious. He's gracious. He's good. He's good to you today. He's good to me today. So I travel on to Ghana. I have a decision to make. Go home and get checked out by real doctors or travel up to the north. Far away from good medical care. So I'm not feeling any press on me from Father. I'm only feeling press from the enemy. So I figure, how about we kick him in the teeth? Now, I wasn't feeling that strongly myself in that faith, but Father was bringing me the faith as a gift. How many know what I mean? I don't know if you know what I mean, but I don't feel real strong in my own faith to do that kind of thing. I'm going to go kick the enemy in the teeth. But it just comes over you. And you either step into it or you don't. It's part of the Father's report. You either step into the land after only two guys come back and say, hey, we could take them. Hey, they're just giants. That doesn't stop our Father, our great God, our mighty warrior. He'll do it. Now, those guys probably if they saw a giant inside themselves, they might be shaking in their boots. But this stuff is coming out of their mouths and their faith is increasing. How many know what I mean? It's okay to shake a little bit in your own boots. But take the Father's report and suddenly, you're a warrior! You're a warrior! You're a warrior! Come on! It's good. Step into His strength, His power. Oh, but my parents don't want me to go to your church. You're too wacko. Step into His power. He'll take care of it. We've had so many parents that didn't want kids to come to this church, and they've been overwhelmed by what God has done. The parents have. The goodness of God. He didn't come and clobber them over the head. What's wrong with you? Let that kid enjoy the presence of Jesus. No, He came and He loved on them. He healed them. He touched them in some way. And now they're part and parcel of what we do. We don't worry about roadblocks when we're at our best. Amen? We don't worry about bad reports when we're at our best. We're at our best when we step into His report, into His faith, into His healing, into His deliverance. We step into His strength. You don't have to have it on your own. You don't have to have it on your own. You step into His. It's great. The Father's report. So, I decided I'm going forth. I'm going forward. I'm going to the north. I'm going to see what God does. I know He'll do something. And we drove up there. It was paining me when we arrived at the place we were going to stay so bad. And I'm like, I'm still believing you, Father. I'm still trusting you. So we had a very short night, slept very little, and had to get up for church the next morning. I got up the next morning. Now, there wasn't enough rest to do anything, really, for the leg. I got up the next morning, and it was 30% better. Just arriving at the place God wanted me to be, it was 30% better, with no explanation. And I took encouragement from that. I thought, He's going to do this thing. He's going to heal me before I get out of the north. He's going to do it. And over the next week, that's exactly what happened. I kept getting stronger and stronger. And what felt at times like it could have been a blood clot turned out to be nothing but something pulled in my leg. And I began to walk properly and dance around and everything else. Now, what's that all about? What is that all about? I'm telling you this morning, you have things you're facing. You have reports you're hearing. Newspaper reports that could make you shake in your boots. I mean, after all, LeBron went to the Heat. What are we gonna do? Oh my gosh! Cleveland's going to fall into Lake Erie. But newspaper reports, magazine reports, reports off TV. You know, a lot of people are shaking in their boots because of reports off the TV. Politics aren't going right. The economy's not going right. We should be shaking in our boots. Guess what? The kingdom is going beautifully. It's doing okay. The stocks are up. They're always up in the kingdom. The economy is just perfect. God has enough for everything, for everyone. I sure didn't miss any meals in Ghana. I'm in a foreign country, depending on other people for the meals. They showed up. God takes care of us, no matter what the reports are. TV, newspaper, magazines, most of them are based on fear, the reports, if you listen to it all. Obama might be a socialist. Fear, fear. Whether he is or he isn't, it's fear. We don't have to worry about that. Because the kingdom has a leader that's always perfectly right. We just need to hear his report. We just need to hear his report. In the spirit, it's all different. Remember Elisha and Gehazi? What he saw in the natural. Big army! It's getting bigger as it comes over the horizon! Huge! Open his eyes, Father. When you see the heavenly host surrounding some earthly army, can you imagine how much that earthly army is outnumbered? Because I'm telling you, the heavenly host glows with glory. It makes the colors of the earthly army look pale in comparison. Some of you are facing overwhelming odds this morning. And yet the battle is the Lord's. The heavenly host is surrounding you and your situation. And all he wants is for you to have eyes to see and ears to hear the Father's report. The Father's report. Take the report of the two spies over the 10 spies every time. Because the giants are never big enough when it comes to the mighty warrior that we have in our lives. We have him living inside of us. Huge advantage to those in the Old Testament. We're under a new covenant. We have the power within us. They didn't have and had to search on the outside of themselves and ask for kind of a special little splash from God. We have a fountain inside of us 24/7. And it will give us the Father's report. If we listen. If we open our eyes to see the heavenly host overwhelming all the odds that we face. Do you want to hear the report of your friends? If they're unbelievers, they cannot be trusted. Their report. Hear my heart. If they're unbelievers, you can't trust their report. Hey, man, you think I ought to take this drug? Hey, yeah, I want to see how weird you look when you're on it. See you fall all over and puke. Come on, go ahead. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Took some myself an hour ago. I'm doing all right. Some friends that have worldly thinking and worldly values are going to give you the stupidest advice. They'll agree with the enemy in giving you advice. Proverbs. All the time, you know, all throughout Proverbs, warns against that. Don't take the report of a fool, someone in the world. Oh, but he's so cool. Kingdom is cool. Kingdom takes courage to live kingdom. It takes no courage to live according to the world. That's just agreement with the easy, agreement with the convenient, agreement with rebellion, agreement with the base nature within our old man. That doesn't take any courage. Doesn't take any courage at all. It takes courage to be like Jesus. And you get that courage from the Most High. To step into the Father's report, it takes courage because it's going to stretch you beyond your limit. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be drowning. But he's going to rescue you and set you on higher ground, on a rock that will not be shaken. So you believe the Father's report, church. Believe the Father's report. Can't take the report of your worldly friends. Most of you are beyond that, praise God. You knew that one. You figured that one out. Sometimes you cannot take the report of mediocre Christians. Christians that are not living wild lives for Jesus. They're not extreme Christians. And so they will try to balance everything. You know, when you don't have an extreme Christian, they use the word balance a lot. You got to be balanced. You don't want to get too crazy about this thing. You know, we got to be balanced. You don't want to be emotional. Got to be balanced. Everything has to be in order. Don't let anything be out of order. Don't let people be flopping on the floor. Don't let people think that they actually could get healed. Let's be balanced about this. Let's be careful here. We don't want to get into deception. If we're not careful, we become peanut butter without the crunch. Oh, we're creamy and we spread nice and smooth, but there's no zing and no crunch to it. There's no zippity-doo-dah to that sandwich. And believe me, it's missing the jelly. So some Christians are peanut butter smooth, but they're missing the crunch, and they definitely don't have any of the jelly. I'm telling you, throw in a couple pickles, too. Come on! Let's live right. Let's live on the extreme. So sometimes you cannot trust, unfortunately, the advice of some members of the body of Christ. If they have shown you a path of... If they have shown you a pattern of faith, if they've shown you a lifestyle of faith, then I would start listening. If they haven't, and they're one of those balanced peanut butter Christians, I'd be very careful about taking their advice. Because it's probably going to be the exact opposite of the Father's report. How many hear me? There were 10 spies that were peanut butter guys. Okay? 10 spies were peanut butter guys. They had no crunch and they had no jelly. And they couldn't get, they wouldn't have gotten the land, they wouldn't have gotten 1 acre of the land with the attitude they had. Giants are too big. Land is fruitful, but the giants are too big. Guess what? God will always lead you to the fruitful land, and he'll knock down the giants if you'll let him. If you'll let him. Now, again, things might not turn out exactly like you want it to. But if you're listening to the Father's report, he'll get you through it anyway. How many know life is filled with trouble? The Bible says so. It doesn't say, oh, everything's going to go just great once you become a Christian and a real, you know, extreme Christian. Everything's just going to go perfect and everything's just going to get knocked out of the way. They lost some battles when they went into the land. How many know that? They did. And they learned from it. But they lost some men. They lost some warriors. But they took the land anyway. They took the land anyway. You're going to overcome the roadblocks in your life. You're going to overcome the lost battles if you step into the Father's report. Into the Father's way of doing things. Into the kingdom report. I'm telling you. It'll happen. When David faced Goliath, whose report was he listening to? He had a lifestyle of faith before he ever showed up on that field. He'd already faced the lion and the bear before he ever came up against Goliath. So as you know, the army of the Lord looked at Goliath as such a huge, huge problem. David looked at Goliath as such a huge, huge target. He was believing the Father's report. And what looked like the hardest thing to overcome to all of this whole army was a huge target to David. How can I miss? Was his attitude. This guy doesn't even crawl around like the lion. He doesn't come roaring at me with the paws like the bear. He can't even move. He's got all that armor on and guy with the shield in front of him, and he's got that huge sword. The guy doesn't move. I can throw rocks at him all day. He's not going to chase me down. David's faith was like, I don't get it. I'm going against him with the name of the Lord, and the target doesn't even move. This is perfect. Sitting duck. This is a classic sitting duck. And he just walked up there, shoop, bam, bonk. And the army was like, how'd he do that? People are amazed at the testimony of the Lord and what he can do in our lives when we tell them. There's this guy checking me through one of the security on the way out of Ghana. And he looked at me and says, What were you doing in Ghana? I said, I was doing mission work. You a pastor? I said, yeah. Man, I got some real problems. I mean, he's a security guy checking me in. I'm taking my boots off. And he's like, man, I got some real problems. I said, can I pray for you? Sure. He just kind of leaned forward, So I prayed for him, and I just had this sense that his health wasn't good. I said, how's your health? Man, not that good. I said, well, we need to pray for that. Okay. How's your life? Got a lot of problems. Just prayed for him. He was the happiest guy. I just felt within 24 hours he was going to have a change. And I was sitting watching him through the window that I could see him at. Man, he just seemed to have an extra zip and everything. God touched him. It wasn't my prayer. It was God. He couldn't wait to touch that guy, and so he just had him say, I got a bunch of problems, to some stranger. Why would he trust me? It was cool. On the plane, I'm sitting down, in a seat that I tried to change online and couldn't change it because they were trying to charge a whole bunch of money and everything. So I sat in this seat and it was, not bad. Got extra leg room. I don't know how that happened because they told me online I had to pay for extra leg room, but I had extra leg room. Favor. That's the way I look at it. I'll take anything and turn it into favor if I can, because it gives glory to God to give us favor. Do you know that? So anything you can see that even looks close to favor, just call it. Oh, I got favor. I'm a child of the king. So I'm sitting there with my extra leg room, and there's this young man next to me. And he just starts, he's Ghanaian. And he is just rattling. I'm like, wow, he's friendly. He was scared. His first flight ever in his life. And he is totally freaked. He is shaking. He's got a headache. I suddenly realize what's going on because I'm like, what, Father, what's going on with this guy? I have never sat down beside someone, especially someone from Africa, and have them start rattling to me. And he's telling me he's going to the States. He met this girl online, and she came to visit him in Ghana and thought Ghana was a ghetto, but she still wants to marry him, and so they're engaged. And, you know, she's got two kids in Chicago, and he's going to Chicago, and she's been to visit him, and he pulls out a wad of money, and he says, yeah, I turned in all my CDs. I don't need money. Here's the money I'm going to give to her as a present. He got this big wad of money showing me, you know, and I'm thinking, I hope he doesn't show everybody. Somebody's going to take his wad in the middle of the night while he's sleeping in the airplane. I guarded him from there on. Want you to know, because I was the aisle seat. He was the one next to the window. So I guarded his wad for him. Anyway, he says, and someone gave me a computer as a gift. It's a Dell. And I'm going to give her that too. He says, I really want to marry this woman. She has two children, and, you know, even though she thinks Ghana's a ghetto. And then he starts telling me how whites are superior. They're so superior. And Americans, they're just wonderful. And he's going on and on about this stuff, tearing down Africans and saying they're corrupt and blacks can't be trusted and all this stuff. And I finally said to him, can I just give you one example? He said, sure. I said, you're from Kumasi, right? Yeah. Well, Kumasi are very proud people. This guy did not fit the M.O. He was like cutting down everything having to do with being African. That's not Kumasi. They're the Ashanti people. They're very proud. They have a king that they look to more than the president of the country of Ghana. Very proud of themselves. And this guy's just like running everything down. And his favorite phrase was, you know, what did I tell you, Troy? Oh, it's so hard. You know, everything's just so hard. He just kept saying that. I'd say, so, you know, what about your trip? Oh, it's just so hard. How are your parents? It's just so hard. How's your life? It's so hard. And I thought, wow. This he doesn't know anything about kingdom, and he's right next to me, and he can't get out unless I let him out. This is wonderful. I can help this guy. So I just said, let me just give you one example. In Kumasi, do they have, like, you know, stoplights and stuff? He says, you mean like traffic lights? I said, yeah. He says, yeah. I said, do you know that it was a black man that invented that in Cleveland, Ohio? You know, the state I'm from? Black man invented that. White people couldn't figure it out. And he was like, really? Oh, well, praise God. Thank you very much. Just that one little example. Oh, praise God. Thank you very much. And then from then on, he was saying that more often than, it's so hard. It's so hard. He was saying, praise God. Thank you very much. Praise God. Thank you very much. One little example that just came to my mind from Holy Spirit. The report of the Father. I mean, this is small. Think about it. George Washington Carver. I mean, he did so many cool things. You know that there are our history has been stolen from us as far as the Afro-American race. There were people in Congress a long time ago in our history, at the very beginning, and nobody knows about it because they took it out of all the history books. It's true. I can prove it. And so this guy, you know, he's like getting lit up a little bit. I said, hey, how about I pray for that headache? Okay. So I pray for his head. And Lord, take this headache away. Show him how much you love him. Oh, thank you very much. Praise God. He's starting to turn around. He's starting to hear the Father's report. Now, most of it came out of my mouth, I'm sure. He didn't really probably have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to hear it, but that's how we all start. We have to be giving the report of the Father as well. We have to be saying, life is exciting. I was so excited to come in here today. Because I saw what God is doing in many of your lives. I was jumping up and down. Honestly, some of you are facing things that are overwhelming, and you're pressing into the Lord. You're not giving up on church. You're not walking away from the body of Christ. You're not saying, Jesus, you don't help me when I need you. You're pressing in for the loaf. I was going to ask you what the last message was I gave, but I guess I just gave it away. You're pressing in for the whole loaf, the report of the Father. It's all the same. I just give one message. Listen to Holy Spirit. How many heard that? Wow, some of you are a little slow on that hand. Listen to Holy Spirit. That's where the sweetness is. So I'm facing this kid in the seat, and I'm getting into it, you know, and giving him other examples and stuff, and I get this tap on my shoulder from across the aisle. There's a guy sitting across the aisle, so I look over, and he's a very distinguished-looking black man, and he says, "Sir, I just wanted to thank you for telling that young man what you just told him." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes. I really want to thank you for that." I said, "Well, thank you very much." And he introduced himself, and the young man went to sleep. You know, he seemed a little more at peace. He wasn't shaking as much. So he went to sleep for a while. So I started talking with this man. He lives in the States. He's been in the States about 20 years. His name's Michael. And he's from Ghana. He teaches at Howard University. He is a co-administrator of a hospital. He's a pharmacist. He wants to help in Ghana go back and take what he has in his training and his heart and everything that he's been given and give it back into Ghana. He's telling me how much he makes a month in Ghana and what he wants to do as far as getting a business going so that he can help the people and have a clinic and everything else. So I shared with him what Frontline was doing in Ghana, and he was excited, and I told him about the healing of my ankle and the healing of the malaria with Pastor Mary Pat and myself. He was like, "Wow, that's great." He says, "Sometimes I have encounters with God, and they're really sweet, but it's not often enough." And so we discussed some of that. This was cool. We're talking about the report of the Lord. He's connecting some people here in the kingdom. So I exchanged card with him. He gave me one. We're going to try to hook up and help people in Ghana. He wants to give back. He says, "The older I get, the more I want to go back and give back into my home country. There's just some pull on my heart." And so he's setting things up for that. And maybe there'll be a relationship with Frontline. Just a guy across, you know, and I'm giving the report of the Lord to this kid, and a good thing happens in the spirit. It happens so much, it can happen to you. Start speaking out the report of the Lord. And I'm telling you, he will make connections in the spirit that can be made no other way unless you're speaking out, "Father's report, Father's report, Father's report." Even when the naysayers are in your ear, when the report of the enemy is screaming out of you, out at you, "You have a blood clot." You have to look the enemy in the eye and say, "Even if I do, Father has it under control." Yeah. It's true. You can look back at the enemy and give him the Father's report. That person that you're caring about so much in your family, you look back at the enemy and say, "He or she is not yours. She's the Lord's. He's the Lord's." And we call them back. The Father's report was to bring the prodigal home. I have prodigals in my life. I want to come home. How many of you have that situation? Then believe the report of the Lord. The prodigal did come home. The prodigal did come home. The prodigal did come home. When he came to himself, what's that mean? He heard the voice of love of the Father from a long ways away. He heard the report of the Father's crying out to him, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And he was drawn home. When it says he came to himself, I don't think the guy had enough wisdom within himself. I mean, he just ripped off his family, spent all their money, and he lives in a pig pen. That guy does not have anything of his own. He came to himself because he heard the loving report of the Father calling out to him, "Come home. Come home." We want the prodigals to come home, don't we? It's only going to be by believing the report of the Lord. Certainly not the report of the enemy, because it's going to look like that'll never happen. It looks like he has his claws in this person so much, they'll never be able to get away. Hey, you got away. Hey, you got away. Hey, you came home. Hey, his clutches are off of you. How'd that happen? You weren't any better than that prodigal. You were a prodigal. You were a prodigal. You were a prodigal, but no more. You're a son or daughter of the Most High now, and you're stepping into it more. Isn't that what you want for that loved one? Sure you do. And so do I. And let's step into the Father's report. Call them home. Love, love, love. Come home to the love. Come home to the love. The love of the Father. And the more we speak that out, I believe they'll hear that call. And they'll turn around, and we'll have reports in here of prodigals coming home. Amen? Yes. It'll be part of your testimony and theirs. I have people in my life that are working on their testimony. I wish they would, you know, kind of just hear Father's voice and come home. But they're still working on their testimony. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be pretty great. It's going to give glory to God, even though it's a mess right now. It's a huge mess. I say it's a huge mess. But we can't look at the mess. Our Father, our Holy Spirit, our Jesus cleans up messes better than anybody I know. Because he doesn't just clean it up. He sanitizes it. He doesn't remember it anymore after it's cleaned up. Some of you have actually sinned. I don't know if that's news to you, but some of you have actually sinned. Some of you this morning. On the way to church. And guess what? Father has already taken care of it 2,000 years ago. It's paid for. He doesn't even remember it. I know that's hard for you to believe, but he doesn't. He chooses to forget it. Oh, but I walked away from the Lord. He certainly didn't forget that. Because I stuffed it in his face and I just walked the other way. And he doesn't forget that. I'm sure he forgives me. But he doesn't forget that because I really stuck him in the face. Really? Guess what? It's forgotten. He chooses to forget it. He takes it as far as the east is from the west in a straight line, not in a circle. So not the equator. It's a straight line as far as the east is from the west. Now, you're not going to be able to figure that out in light years, so don't even try. Some of you that like those figures, forget that. East is from the west. Just keep it simple. That means he doesn't remember it. I remember them no more. When are you going to step into the freedom of that? When am I going to step into more of the freedom of that? I want to. You better encourage me. Because it feels good to know the Father has already forgotten it. You commit a sin, it's already covered. That's what brings the love out of our hearts. Not that he forgives us. He already did that. 2,000 years ago, all of it was paid for. It's that he can bring you to the place where you realize his grace has covered everything. Oh, but how can he trust us? We'll just go out and sin if we believe that. Really? I think love is greater. I think we can fall so much in love with him that sin starts to get a really bad taste in our mouth. You know, like just drinking a gallon of vinegar. That's the way, you know, sin is going to feel like to us as we go on. We won't want to. We'll want to go after him, please him. We'll want to hear the Father's report and give it out to people. So this guy taps me on the shoulder and we're friends now. Michael and I are good buds. Exchange cards. We're going to be in touch. I'll let you know how we do. So the kid wakes up. Abdul is his name. Tells me he has a name from the court of the king. It's a name that's used in the court of the king in the Ashanti circle, and they have the stool and the whole deal. I mean, it's quite a culture unto itself. And they listen to this king more than they do their own president, as I said. So he was pretty proud about that. And, you know, he's starting to raise up a little bit here. He's starting to say, praise God, thank you very much. More than his negative phrases. That's a change. He wakes up and he says, hey, my headache's gone. Small little thing. But he didn't ask the attendants for any kind of medication. What did that? The report of the Lord. That's what did it. He began to believe it, and his headache left. It was a spiritual thing. It wasn't a physical thing. It was a spiritual thing, I think. As soon as he began to believe the report of the Lord, the headache left. You know what? Your headaches can leave. Believe the report of the Lord rather than the problem that you're facing. Your headache can leave over it. So then he says to me, he said, I'm not shaking anymore. He says, I think it was because God sent an angel to sit right beside me. And he smiled at me and looked at me. And I thought, that's the first time a guy ever called me an angel. I'll take it. I mean, I'm not anywhere near an angel because they're too limited. I'm a son of the Most High. I'm not limited like an angel. They can't give the gospel. But I can. But it was still a nice thing for him to say. I said, well, praise God. Thank you very much. And he smiled and we laughed. He went back to sleep. He was at peace. He said, what's that out the window? I said, that? He said, yeah. He says, is that the wing? I said, yeah, that's the wing of the plane. Pretty big, isn't it? I mean, he had never taken a flight. I said, when we go up in the air, you'll see the lights of Accra, and they're green in color because of all the incandescent bulbs that they use. It's much different than other cities that we fly over. When we fly over Washington, D.C., you'll see lights that are totally different than when we get up in the air and we look out at the lights of Accra. So pay attention to that. He's looking out the window. He's enjoying himself on the flight now. Why? The report of the Lord. It wasn't that I was a nice guy, that I was trying to help him, that God gave me a heart for him. It was that he was believing the report of the Lord and he was rising in faith. He followed me off the plane and he stayed close to me so I could help him through immigration and customs a little bit. But my bag was delayed and he just strutted off. Thank you very much. And he strutted off confidently to go through an airport that was huge to him. But I'm sure he made it to his destination because he was believing the report of the Lord. His faith had risen. He had become a different person over simple things that I shared with him. I didn't get a chance to tell him all about how sweet Holy Spirit is and how great it is to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords so much. He said his fiance was an evangelist and she was telling him about Jesus more and more. He needed the peace of the Lord from me. He'll get more of the Lord, I'm trusting, from his fiance. How to encounter the Lord, I'm praying. And maybe he'll just take that email address I gave him and write me and tell me how he's doing. He promised to. We'll see. Sometimes people follow through with that. Sometimes they don't. But you know what? He's in the hands of the Lord, and he's believing the report of the Lord. That's what I want for you this morning. That wonderful worship, that crazy worship, sometimes it goes on, and some people are like, oh, geez, are they going to keep playing the drums like that for another 15 or 20 minutes, or are we going to actually start to kick this thing off? That's okay. It's all right. Because one day in heaven, you're going to be worshiping your socks off, your teeth off, or whatever else you have up there, and I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy it to the max. This is just practice. And I enjoyed being with you this morning. I enjoyed trying to give you the report of the Lord. And there's more. And you have the report of the Lord to give back. That's what keeps us encouraged back and forth, doesn't it? And with one another across the aisle. And you're going to get tapped by someone sometime and they're going to say, thank you so much for giving the report of the Lord. I needed that. I needed to hear that somebody cared about my race, that somebody cared about tearing down mistruths and lies of the enemy. You know, he was calling me white and an American and more valuable than him. But I'm telling you, that's as much a lie as thinking that, you know, for myself, that I'm better than him. He was giving me compliments that were lies. We can't receive those. We have to give the report of the Lord back and say, oh no, I told him at one point, you are treasured to God. And I am treasured to God. And neither one of us is more important. It has nothing to do with the color of our skin or our background or where, what country we're from. It has nothing to do with that. It's that we're a son of the Most High. And we are in His kingdom and in His home. And he said, praise God, thank you very much. That was a report of the Lord. That was truth. I love speaking out truth, don't you? Because it takes revelation from God to do that. We didn't come up with that on our own. We aren't smart enough. I said, we aren't smart enough. You should say, amen. Amen. But we've started to believe consistently as a lifestyle the report of the Lord. And as you do that, you come into revelation. You get impartation. We're doing worship on our land in Ghana during the Kingdom Bible School. I'm off into some fourth or fifth heaven. And I'm just feeling the flow prophetically, and I'm singing prophetically, and I'm enjoying it because I know it's not coming from me. I was too wasted. I was too tired. I was hot. I was all the things of the earth. But it was coming out of me anyway, and strong. I mean, man, it was like, woo, and I'm enjoying that so much. And there was someone that we have a connection with from the past, became part of our team. His name's Kenneth, and he was healed in the early 2000s, and he joined our team. Such a great young man, and did everything with us, and did drama with us, and all this, and he was part of the Kingdom Bible School. It was really cool. He was holding my microphone as I'm playing, and suddenly, you know, I'm in that fourth or fifth heaven, and suddenly the microphone starts to be withdrawn from me, and I don't hear myself as loud anymore. So I open my eyes. He is falling backwards. He's like, and he hits the deck. I do that right now, but, you know, I used to have an ankle that hurt. Don't want to hurt it again. No. So he hits the deck, and he's out. My microphone is on the ground, and my microphone holder is poking out. So, you know, someone comes and just kind of sees if he's okay or starts to pray for him, and he wakes up and he realizes his responsibility, you know, and he comes back with the microphone. And we finish out the prayer time or the worship time and so on. And he came up to me afterwards. He says, you know, I was in heaven while you were singing. You know, that's about the best compliment you can have. When somebody says, you know, you were worshiping, and I know you were tired and you were, you know, sweaty, and you were kind of out of it in the natural, but in the spirit, you were soaring and everything. I went to heaven. Whoa. So I'm listening, both ears, you know. Woo, this is the report of the Lord. I know it is. This is truth. And so I'm listening, and he goes, and I was asking the Lord if I could sing like you are singing prophetically. And the Lord came over and touched me, and that's when I fell backwards. Whoa! That is sweet. He had an encounter with the Lord. So sweet. And I said, well, that was his impartation. You will be singing prophetically. And I had taught him some guitar chords and so on. Well, actually, he knew a lot of guitar chords. I showed him how to make a little variety with the guitar chords and so on. Just such a sweet thing. And he stepped into more of the Lord in his time with the team and with everyone there and ministering at the Kingdom Bible School. You know, you can minister and increase a lot You don't even know what you're doing. And he didn't know what he was doing, but he was ministering. He was with the team. He was, and the Lord led him to do just the right things. You don't have to know it all before you start. I said, you don't have to know it all before you start. Isn't that great? Just step in, and the Lord will anoint you. He will help you. He'll lead you in new ways. So this week, I'm praying that you will step into the report of the Lord. You'll step into more of Him in such a way that your giants will fall. Your problems, you'll see from a different perspective. It doesn't matter if you're running down the hill with a trumpet, you know, and a lantern, and you're going to be fighting a battle. You don't even have a sword. It doesn't matter. The report of the Lord says the victory is ours. It doesn't matter if you're marching around a huge wall and it seems silly. And all you're going to do at the end is give a big shout. Seems silly. But the report of the Lord says the wall will fall. The wall will fall. Doesn't matter how silly it looks. Doesn't matter if you're talking about a traffic light with someone and they're totally encouraged. That seems silly. That doesn't even make sense. But there was turnaround there. Just on simple truths. You don't have to know everything. You just need to know the one that knows everything and then give his report. Father, we just thank you that that's the way you are. You have a good report all the time. You have the powerful report all the time. Let us step into believing it. Let us have that whole loaf. We're tired of just taking a piece off the loaf and thinking we have it. No, you have so much for us. Bring the prodigals home, Lord. Bring the ones home we care about, but you care about them even more. To draw them home with your love, Lord. Take the problems that seem so big, like the Goodyear blimp in front of our nose, Lord, and help us to see it from heaven. The Goodyear blimp looks like a speck. Thank you, Jesus. From heaven, it's just a speck. You have it under control. We don't believe the report of the enemy. We don't believe the report of mediocre Christians. We don't believe the report of unbelievers. We don't believe the report of the world through the media. We believe your report, Lord. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear in the Spirit. To see the overwhelming numbers of the heavenly host swallowing up the armies of the earth, Lord. In the Spirit, you can help us see these things. We just ask you to open up our eyes, open up our ears, Lord, that we can experience the kingdom and be able to handle here what we face on earth. We bless you, Lord. Your report is the one we believe. No blood clots that you can't handle, either by making it disappear that it never existed or by handling it in whatever way you choose, but you can give us the report and we'll trust you for the outcome, Lord. We know you have us in your hands. Totally we're forgiven. Totally, we are cared for. We are treasured to you. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. It's Lord.
I sound a little froggy, so I just want to say I love you and greet you. And next week you'll hear more when I'm a little more fluent sounding. And I think you were all encouraged today to hear that whose report will we believe will be the report of the Lord. Amen. And after these 5 weeks, there is a whole lot to share. And there'll be a new venue next week for that. One of the tools that we had for evangelism was a very anointed drama, which we would like to demonstrate for you next week, amongst other things. And so I want to thank you all for holding the fort down, so to speak, and we heard great things were happening the entire time. 5 weeks is a long time, and you miss your family. And so my Mozambique family, it was hard when we went to Ghana. It was like, wait a minute, they need to come with us. This is kind of strange. And the rest of you here need to be there. You know, that's how you feel in your heart. But phenomenal things happen, and we want to thank you for praying. And there's a lot of really good information and impartation at the website. And more is coming this week. And so if you have a chance to kind of go there and check things out, that would really be great. And then we'll highlight some things as the Lord shows us and tells us. And also next week there'll be a fuller house. There are quite a few people from the teams who are missing today. So we look forward to next week, and we can't wait to see you on Tuesday. So be encouraged, be strengthened, and know that God is on your side. This is a very different summer from last summer. And God is so good. He's so faithful. So our eyes are on him, and we know that he truly loves us. We're very blessed people. We really are. What happened today was very strong, very powerful, and very anointed. Don't lose sight of that. So just take your promise with you when you go, and just continue to believe God's report. God's going to continue to pour things from the heavenly realm to you. If you had words, pictures, visions, and we don't know about it, please email us. Thank you for praying while we've been gone, and please continue to do so. Pastor Samuel came down with malaria as soon as he said goodbye to Pastor Bill last year. Mama Vera came down with malaria as soon as she said goodbye to me. There is a whole dynamic, a spiritual dynamic of the sicknesses and diseases that float around and that our doctors don't understand. But the Lord has been showing us more and more and more over these years what the spirit realm really is like, and why it's so important to live in the glory realm, so important to be sensitive to the Lord, to hear when he's saying, it's time to beat those drums, baby. So God is on our side, and he's teaching us how to live as kingdom kids. And it's more than what we've thought. And so the Lord is growing the whole family of God worldwide, especially here up in the Spirit, for the great and mighty things that he's doing. So, Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, the Pastor Samuel believes your report. And we thank you, Lord God, that your report says he's healed. And we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that he rises up and that his body rises up. And the spirit of malaria is broken over him in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord God, for the great and mighty work that you're doing in his life and his family and ministry life. And I thank you, Lord, that he's feeling encouraged and strengthened right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, for the release of your spirit over this house in Jesus' name. I thank you for the increase over every family here represented. I thank you, Lord God, that everyone who is participating in Frontline Worship Center, part of our family, is walking under the security of your blessing from heaven. I just thank you for the divine empowerment that rests on each person today that comes from your heavenly realm and zone. So, Lord, you are so good. And we thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for sustaining us, for protecting us, for bringing us back safely to be able to declare the works of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are all reunited again, and thank you for the the great increase that hits this church as a result of your love just increasing here. So we thank you. We praise you, Lord. May this be a continuation and a continued celebration and party, because you are so worthy. We love you. We praise you. And we keep on thanking you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And Lord willing, come Tuesday, we'll see you then. Amen.